Page 104, Halacha Dala. We're learning the idea of Bishul Akum. Vinei, Hatur Kos of Gamkein, Vizelishon, the Torah writes. Oh, very good. You keep it. You're the Rebbe. You keep it. The Torah writes. Vizelishonai, Hare, Avraham Hoy. Viharabenu, Viharabenu Avraham. Hoyamatiram, in Bishul, the basis shall be strong. It's quoting over here, the Torah is quoting the person, Viharabenu Avraham. I don't know who this person is from the Torah. Anyone have any idea who Rabbeinu Avraham is? Rabbi Avraham. When do we have a Rabbi Avraham?
The Rambam's son named Avraham?
The Rambam's son? Wait, who? Avraham, who's the Rambam's son's name? I forgot.
Rabbi.
Avraham ben Haram ben... I don't remember. The Harebi Avraham Hoyematidam in Bishloi Bebesoi Shel Yisrael. We quoted this actually yesterday that this sheet, the Torah is quoting the sheet that says that a non Jew is allowed to cook food for a Jew, provided that he is cooking the premises of a Jew. The Rabbeinu Tam Choylik Alof. Okay, maybe we're from Bali Taisis, maybe we quoted from Bali Taisis yesterday. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. No such thing. The Chenei Hagim Adkan Leshoinoi. The Torah. Paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, it does not make a difference if the non-Jew is cooking in your home, it is forbidden. The food is not kosher. If you have live-in help, a maid, and she turns on the fire, and she makes food which is in the category of Bishul Akum, which we have yet to discuss the details, it's not kosher. Basically, the food is not kosher. You're not allowed to eat that food, even though it's your home, and all of the ingredients are kosher. The hiskim le'isser, and he was maskim. That's the hiskim le'isser, and obviously the Torah is maskim that it is forbidden. There's no room for leniency. The gam rabenu habes yosef besif dal kosav yesh mi shemati. Does mention there's a matir b'shvacha is shalanu, our maids. The yesh mi she'oser, and there are those who hold that does not make a difference. Afilu b'di'evet at kan l'shoinai. The dietary l'isser k'masha kasa b'sefer hagadol ayin sham. He comes. He obviously his conclusion is that in his sefer hagadol in the shulchan aruch he paskins the Beis Yosef is writing a commentary on the Torah, and then he writes the shulchan aruch and he comes to conclude that it is forbidden to rely upon this leniency. A non-Jew that cooks in the premise of a Jew, the food is forbidden. Ach rabbeinu harama kasa v'zel shanim uvidiyevet yesh lismach adivrei hamatidim. Now, we're going so quick, don't get carried away yet. Let's see what he says over here. Shahashvachoitz v'ho'avodim mevashlim b'beis Yisrael ki i'efshu. This is what we quoted at the very end of yesterday, from the top. It's not this that the Ramah says we can be lenient. That's only in a situation where at least the Jew does contributes in some small minor way to the cooking, to the fire, by stirring the coals. Because like Bishul Kishash Shefachis, v'havod Bishul Ki Yevshe Shelo Yichate Echad Mibnei Abayis Ma'at Ad Kan Lishan. It's impossible that a Jew will not stroke the coals at least a little bit, or in our example, turn on the pot of light. V'nira Lehedya. They all have to come together. The only time we can be makel, the Ramah says, is number one.
So now it's
more of
a problem. We don't have fiberglass.
It is, exactly. It is. It really is. Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we come to the practical halacha. It's a big, big problem. We don't have pyrolites. Even the pyrolite, who says the pyrolite is such a good is such a solution? The pyrolite is far removed from the ignition. So it's also not so simple. Just because you have an oven and the pot light is on, when you put the food down, you put the pot down on the grate, on the range, it's not cooking. I have to go and turn it on, draw from the pot light to this location. Is that really what the Ramah means? That the Jew is not stirring the coals? It's indirect.
Maybe if we're
playing with that, similar to the Thousand Nation.
Chasam Sofer. Put it throwing a match. No, that's more direct. He put the match right under the pot. This something which is further removed away. I don't know. There are different opinions in this way. V'hainu. The basis of Yashvachos and number two, Yashvachos Sukhros. Number two is the Shifcha is hired. That's also a leniency. She's not doing it for free. If a person is doing you a favor and cooking the food for free, and you eat from their food, and you eat from the food, even the ingredients are, that may lead to closeness. That may lead to what we're concerned about, chasnus, intermarriage. But if you're paying them to do work, I'm paying you. You're my hired hand. You're just an employee. I don't care about you. I'm not going to marry your daughter. I'm not going to let my son marry your daughter. That is one step removed from Chazal's original takana. The original takana is if your next door neighbor, non-Jew, invites you for Thanksgiving dinner. He invites you to Thanksgiving dinner and he guarantees that every ingredient he's going to serve is kosher. So he's doing you the favor. There's a suda, there's a meal, there's some type of closeness between you and him. Here. What?
If the maid is, if he's your living maid.
That's what he's trying to suggest, exactly what he's discussing. So it's, no, he's saying it's not. It's not a heter. He's saying, he says, first of all, there is a heter if you own the person. If you own the one, we learned yesterday, there is a heter if you actually own the servant. If the maid is your legal property, a slave, a halachic slave, then it appears there is such a leniency. But there is no such thing as slavery. So the best you're going to have is it's an employee. An employee is not the same. But an employee is still better than someone inviting you for a meal. Someone invites you next door to enjoy with them some type of dinner. An employee is better than that. So is that alone enough to be matir? No. But this is typical halacha. It's called a sniff. Like in Kleenex, you have tissues, you sniff. No. A sniff means it's a branch. We combine multiple leniencies to come, which each one in and of itself is not enough, but when you combine a few of them together, then it becomes permitted. So what are the sinifim? Number one, the person is not doing it for free. I'm paying him to do it. Once I'm paying him, he's under my jurisdiction, under my authority. He is an extension of me. Number two, I'm going to turn on the pilot lights. I'm going to also do something. I'm not going to let him just, even though he's doing the cooking, but I threw a match into the thing. That itself is not a big deal. Threw a match, so what? No, but it's another element of leniency. Number three, the EF, sure. So first of all, it's also on my premises. That's another important thing. Where is this being done? It's being done in my home. If I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner in your home, that's a much greater problem. That involves closeness. But if he's coming to me, it's being done in my home, that's less of an issue. Each one of these things is not sufficient in and of itself. But when you combine the three together, it's being done in my home, I'm going to light the pilot light, and I am paying the person to do it, to cook the food. Each of these three create enough of a reason why we consider it's mutter. It's a very good case study in the world of Psak. Pesach, you go to Pesach school, special school for Pesach, teach you how to paskin halacha, get shimush. That's what old shimush is all about. You go sit with our Rabelska, Zechel Levracha, okay, he's no longer here, Talmidim will go wherever, Herschel Shachter, you go there and you sit with him the whole day in the OU, he sits there the whole day, like once a week, twice a week, I don't know what it is anymore, and he sits there the whole day, what?
Once a week,
he sits there with Talmidim, come, they sit, they watch him, they line up around the building, people come to ask him, all the RCs, all of the rabbinic coordinators, everyone has their specialty, one guy's in charge of meats, one guy's in charge of fish, one guy's in charge of baked products, one guy's in charge of factories, one guy's in charge of canned goods, there are like 50 RCs, called rabbinic coordinators, and each one has their specialty. And they know everything. I have so much experience, it's unbelievable what these people know. And every so often, new questions come up, new issues come up. So these have the OU, now they only, one will come in once a week, and then another one will come in once a week. I think Rabelski at the end was coming already twice a week. Twice a week at the end, it was so busy, there was so many questions, so many issues. So they line up the whole day, they come and they tell them the problems, and he paskins, he tells them what the halacha is. He's a genius, talking about genius of geniuses. And the Talmidim would sit there and just watch in awe, and many times, what does he say? It's really, it's osur, but because we have, there's this reason to be lenient, and then there's this reason to be lenient, and there's this reason to be lenient. Each one in and of itself is not sufficient, but the fact that there are three different things coming together, in this instance, we can be lenient halacha l'maisa. So where do you draw the line? When do you say you need two things, you need three things, you need four things? Where do you draw the line? This is the discretion, many times, of a person who's an expert, a mumcha in halacha, to make these decisions. Here you have a very good case study in this concept, is where the Aruch HaShulchan is telling you that what do we do b'zman hazeh? B'zman hazeh, it's a pretty big problem. Bishlakim is a halacha in the Gemara that it's aser. The bottom line is the guy is cooking the food. Forget about the fire. Who is eating the ingredients? Who is putting into the pot the meat? Who is putting into the pot the ingredients? Who is stirring it? Who is watching it? Who is doing everything? The guy. The guy is doing everything from beginning to end. Isn't that what Chazal had in mind when they said Bishalakum? It should be Aser. So along comes, we have a heter if it's been done in your home. Do we rely upon that? No. We have another heter. Well, if you own the guy, is that going to work for us? No, we don't own, but they're hard. We're paying them. Number two, I'm also doing something. I'm putting in the match. I'm lighting, turning on the pot of light. Each one of these things in and of itself is not enough. But the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us, halacha l'maisa, that it's good. It's mutter. The whole world, if not for this heter, we couldn't eat anything today tonight. Or the price of food will be triple the price. Because you're not going to go get juice to go and make to cook for you and commercially all the foods. It would almost be impossible to have someone do everything for you. So because these three factors and this example come together, that's why it's going to be mutter. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. Why? Because we rely upon the other lines that were coming to contribute. Again, this was from the tour. Venera, Lehenya, Shehekel. Why is the tour, the Shulchanach, being matir? The Bnei Kol Hatamim Biyachad. We're combining all of these leniencies together. V'hainu, number one, Bebeis Yisrael. It's being done in my premises. Number two, V'hashifachais Shechuras. They're not doing it for free. They're being paid. Number three, V'efshar She'echon Mibnei Habayis Lo Yechatem Ad Bebishol Hatavshil V'yatzli. They're going to stir. Now notice, he doesn't say about the fire. You see what the Aruch HaShulchan says? It says over here that I'm doing it in my house. I'm going to come into the kitchen and stir the pot. Isn't that interesting? Okay, that's not done today. You don't stir the pot. You let the guy do everything today. They're going to do something of benefit. Lekarev habishul, to speed up the cooking. Period. V'svirulei l'Rabbeinu Harmah, d'nehi d'rivit Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Ramah, even the Rivit Rabbeinu Tam, cholkem al svaras haravid, al ravid. They disagree with the Ravid's leniency. The Ravid was the one that said that they're doing it in your home, it's mutter. And and Rabbeinu Tam strongly disagree. Just because the guy did it in your home doesn't make a difference. The Gamal Hetera, the Knuyos Lanu, in Lismach, we certainly cannot rely upon the leniency that you own the non-Jew, because today we do not own other people. Today the best we can say is that we're hiring them. Ki Einam, Knuyos Lanu, Bizman, is that there's no such thing as owning a person. Elos, Churos, Mikol Mokoim, Bishmehem Biyachat. This is the chiddush of the Ramah, when you combine these two leniencies, uvit siruf heter hashlishi, and the third heter, that you're also going to stir the pot, yesh lahater lichatchila. That was a powerful words. Ubevadai, sheb imukomos hagadolim, shein manichim lishos mishareres yisraelis, in the very big place where we do not allow a Jewish woman, we do not allow a Jewish woman to be the cook, for whatever their situation is, in a certain place where it's impossible to have a woman, or for that matter, to a man who is a cook, vadai diyecholim lismoch al heterim elu. You can rely upon these leniencies. Avo b'mokam she'efshar ein lismoch al kol haterim shenisparu v'chein aminik pashut ve'ein l'shanos. But lechatchila, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not a good idea. So this is very interesting. When you go and you see on the label, when you go buy a product and it says on the label that it's Bishli Yisrael, what in the world does that really mean? Okay, Bishli Yisrael. Really? Bishli Yisrael? You're telling me, now that you learn the Aruch HaShulchan, you learn all the leniencies, and he tells you at the very, very end, it's just a combination of a hodgepodge of taking three leniencies, putting it together, and that's going to be good enough. It's kosher. But he says there, yeah, we're in Makam Sh'efsha, ain't listening, I'll call Ha'atayim Sh'nisparu. if you really want to adhere to the letter of the law, it should be done, everything should be done. The guy should not be involved in the cooking at all. Zero. So you go to the store, the grocery store, you go to a supermarket, and you buy a product, and it says in the product, Bishul, they have a big, nice label, Bishul Yisrael. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean it means that the Jew turned on the pot of light? Maybe that's what that kashrus organization feels is sufficient to put on the label Bishul Yisrael. But everything else was done by a guy or done by a machine. You can't generalize. Every single product is a million variables. But I get the sense is that they're not telling you the whole story. When they say on the label it's Bishul Yisrael, they mean, yeah, look in the Aruch HaShulchan, you'll see there are heterim, there are a lot of heterim, and therefore we're going to tell you it's Bishul Yisrael. But we should appreciate that there's something really to the halacha where it's completely done by a Jew from beginning to end. That is a much higher standard.
So it would be a higher level if it's a Jewish-owned factory.
Of course, that's for sure. Every different element adds to the heter. So if it's a Jewish-owned factory, that's the Bereshusai. If the pyrolite is lit by the Jew, certainly. But even the pyrolite, he doesn't say the pyrolite. He says stirring the food, doing something. He writes here, very different, you don't see this, is to do something to the food that is of benefit. That's not, in kashrus industry, you don't hear that. You hear, who turned on the pyrolite? That's all you hear, yeah.
So, Lamaisa, you have in your back kitchen.
Yeah.
If you break it down, you have someone who's Jewish. By Jewish, you mean someone who's Shomrei Torah of Mitzvah.
No, not necessarily. No.
You're someone who's Jewish.
Someone who's Jewish.
As opposed to someone who's
a non-Jew. See, you want to go say even further. Tinuk Shenishba has the status and is in as a goy. In halacha, there are many instances that you do say that. There are many instances that a person who's not a Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, even though he's our brother. In halacha, he's not accepted to do certain things for. He's not trusted for certain things. I don't have the details, but there definitely are many areas in halacha. Obviously, when it comes to bishulakum, that doesn't seem to be a problem.
Why weren't they leaning to that? You're actually washing the guy's foot on the pile.
They weren't.
It's not delegating.
In halacha, right? you gotta do. Torah is very demanding that it be done by you. You can't go daven Shemona. I'll daven Shemona Esrei in my mind. I'll mechaven every single word of Shemona Esrei, but it's not going to come out of my mouth. Shkriya Shema. I'm not going to say the words. I'll think through. Isn't that better? If I say the words, I don't know what I'm saying. It's just by rote. I'm yotze l'mitzvah. I'm mechaya mitzvah deraisa just by reading all the words, not that by spacing out at the same time. And if I would think every word clearly with all of its deep meaning, but not actually articulate the words, I have not fulfilled my obligation. Doesn't make any sense, right?
That's why we don't. Doesn't make any sense. Also, the same thing, because you know who's going to concentrate. You know, you're not watching. You're going to take your eye off the prize.
That's the halacha. The halacha demands you got to do it, even though you are right. It doesn't make sense. That doesn't matter.
It seems that the once for. The whole Chumra started from
Chasnus. Two reasons. Rashi says two reasons. Right. Chasnus and non-kosher ingredients.
Right. But it seems that if, let's say, you have a factory in Iran that's making baked mushrooms, whatever, under Hashgach, of course, we have a problem. But even if a guy makes it, what Shaykh is...
That's the halacha. The halacha does not differentiate.
Why is that discussed?
Does the that's,
discussions here have nothing to do
you cannot
with
go,
the chatnus. They have to do...
Chazal do not go slice it down the middle. Halacha is across the board. You can't... You're right, there are many situations where the reasons do not apply. It doesn't matter. There are times in halacha where we do take that into consideration. But generally, loy plug. This is the rule. The rule is the rule. We don't care. I had a story with insurance. Okay, I live at home. And my sister's also in this, has the same address as me, and I get a call from the insurance company, and they say to me, "We're raising your insurance, your car insurance, by a few hundred dollars." Why? What are you crazy? Yeah. Because the DMV has, we have become aware that there's another person and that has the same exact address, right, that has a driver's license. So I said, that person will never touch the car. Well, that's not going to touch. They're not. They say, I know, we believe you, blah, 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 blah. But that's the rule. That's the rule. And there's no one to talk to. You can talk to the wall the whole day. This, it's a computer. This is the rule. There's no way in the world. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. That's the way it is. So there's no one to talk to. So what am I going to argue with them? That's their rule. Halacha is just like that. You can't start making exceptions. What? As they told me, if you can go, there are crazy things you can do regarding get out of this. Well, wait, well, it's kind of how it's set up. But whatever it is, there's a technicality, and the technicality doesn't make any sense from my perspective. And even they told me right away, it doesn't make one bit of sense in your situation. The whole thing doesn't make one. But there's a thing we can do. This is a problem, and they're not the only one that has this problem. And the company could not care less. They have more than enough customers to be very happy to get rid of you, not to go and make not to be machalik.
And then they said, sure, you rent the car. If you're from, they don't charge you insurance for Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You get a discount for Shabbos.
How do they know you're from?
You say you are.
But you say they trust you?
If you have an accident, then you're in trouble.
Oh, you have an accident on Shabbos. Unless it's an emergency.
You rent a car for 3 weeks, and they take off like 6 days.
It's very interesting. Unless it's an emergency. Allison is an emergency. I who's to say? You know, you can get into all these lawsuits. Who's to say this, that, that? It can be very expensive. It's very, very interesting. I'm really shocked. It's very surprising what you're saying. You're opening yourself up. Really? You're opening yourself up a major, major problem. Such a thing. I wouldn't. If I was running a car, house, I would never do it. Maybe because I know too much. That's why. I know too much about from people, so I wouldn't do it. I hear. Okay, this is a very, very fascinating insight into understanding Bishalaka. We are relying upon very great leniencies when you buy a product. And if you're going to buy a product that you really know, it's really 100% Bishalaka. A lot of the Hasidic products, they're very into this. Hasidim are very into kashrus. This is one of their big things. They like this. They like these topics. So you're going to pay. You are going to pay a lot more. That is the reality. Because all of this costs money. So it's going to go, the price is going to go way, way up. And also the quality will not necessarily be as good. Because if you're not going to come on to the technology and the advantages that the goyim have when they mass produce something using very high tech quality machines, not necessarily are you going to get the quality of a product, the product that's going to be 100% to your satisfaction, Bishul Yisrael, as if you would buy something that's from a kashrus agency that relies upon leniencies. That's a reality. They don't, the products, you know, the kosher product, at least it used to be, now they're catching up very quickly, but it used to be that the kosher products are not the same. They're not the same as the non-kosher products.
Can a machine do all the cooking?
So that's an old shayla. That's the matzah factor.
That's the hetefikane products.
Well, the hetefikane product is because you eat it raw.
Raw, sealed, and cooked.
You can eat it raw. Vegetables.
That's another shayla.
So, why did you buy canned peas and green beans? Some greens you can't. Of course, they make other things.
We're getting a little bit of appreciation of the halachas. We'll do the modern halachas. We buy
things. It depends on the country it's made in. That's why they have to. The big problem started with the kosher Chinese restaurants. So
why was the problem?
Some water chestnuts of not coming from America. They had to send mashgichim to China.
Why?
Because over there they don't have. We don't know what's going on in the factories over there. Over here we know. So nobody has to stand by in Del Monte to see that the green beans are. You don't see hashgal on it, and it's perfectly legal. But in China, who knows what's going on in the factory? They have to pay for a mashgiach to run and get hashgal on the bamboo shoots and water chestnuts and things like that.
But hashgal is not bishlakim.
And that's a big expense.
It's not bishlakim. Hashgal is the kashrus.
Because you don't know what else is coming out of the factory.
Okay, let's go now. Now we're getting into some very interesting. Now we're getting into some of the what is called bishulakam. Okay, so here we go. Halacha hey, bameh noyeg bishulakam. What type of foods are subject to this prohibition? So nosnu chazal shnei klolim, two rules. The kol davar hanekel kmo shuchai kmo peros uchiyotzei bohem ein bohem yishum bishulayhem. Water, anything that can be eaten raw. And now has been enhanced by a non-Jew cooking it, that's not under the issue, that's not under the Chazal's prohibition of bishulakam. Can you drink water raw as it comes out of a reservoir? Tap water? Of course. Okay, there's no issue. So now let's say the non-Jew takes the water and he cooks the water. And he cooks the water. He makes hot water for you. So now I'm not allowed to drink the hot water. That was treif, because the hot water has been heated by a non-Jew. This is bishulakam. No such thing. The only thing that is prohibited is something which originally is not edible. It's not possible for a human being to consume in a normal way. And now only through the effort of a non-Jew has it been transformed into a food that is edible through his effort where he cooked it. That is under the prohibition of bishul akum.
Can he make you a cup of coffee?
So coffee, you have a problem of what kind of cup of coffee is he making for you? What exactly are you doing when you make a cup of coffee? Is it instant? Is it ground? So it's not so simple. Halacha l'maaseh, we pask that it's mutter. We don't pass that the coffee, it's the water. The flavoring is not. Let's hold back on halacha l'maaseh. We'll discuss coffee. It's a very complicated
Starbucks
issue.
Starbucks is a problem.
Is it really a problem?
Yeah, because they have some of the flavored coffees that happen not.
Well, that's not kosher, but that's sort of the bishul.
So that they allow plain black coffee.
No, but that's the kashrus issue. We're talking about now the cooking
right.
element. The guy is the one who is heating the water. He has turned on the machine to heat the water. Even if he gives you a hot cup of water and then he gives you the coffee, so the water itself is not a problem.
Water is not a problem.
Not a problem. But how is the coffee made? So let's leave that for when we discuss halacha l'maisa. There are certain issues relating to a non-Jew serving coffee. Like you go on an airplane. There are a lot of leniencies in kashrus. Even if you do not know, go on an airplane. I heard Rabbi Belsky was very lenient. If you go on an airplane and they serve coffee, okay, let's say you're not traveling on a kosher, on El Al, you have no kosher food, and they come out with coffee. Are you allowed to take from them black coffee? And you have milk, also you're allowed to take. So Rabelsky, I heard that he was very lenient. He says yes, because the machines are come out exclusively used for coffee, and the machines are not clean. They're not clean together. The machines they use on the airplanes today, the modern airplanes, they're completely independent. They're not cleaned or come in contact in any way with other non-kosher utensils, which are, if you clean utensils in certain commercial settings, so even though one thing is only used for kosher food, it can become treif when it's been cleaned together with other utensils which are treif. And they're all mixed together in hot water. But the coffee machines are not. The coffee machines are gluten independent. So I heard that he was, at least when he went on an airplane, he was very lenient and allowed for himself and for others to drink coffee on a regular airplane that is not under kashrus supervision. Fly Delta, you fly even El Al. El Al, I don't know what their standards are. I don't know why is everyone always ordering kosher food in El Al? Why can't we eat the regular food in El Al? It's not kosher.
You can.
The regular
it's the
food.
Same if you order the kosher, the extra kosher.
Yeah.
You're still getting the same meal with a different label on it.
Same exact food.
Getting the same food with a different label.
So there's no need to order kosher.
I had a guy looking at me, and he from Meir Sharm, and he was sitting next to me on the plane, and he said, he looked at my dinner, he looked at his, and he said to me in Hebrew, he says, "This is the same meal." I said, "You bet."
It's exactly
just
the same.
His sticker on it.
That's
and the bagels.
You know what it is? It's too much for them to buy from too many places. That's why El Al bought out Borenstein. Borenstein is owned by El Al. Used to be separate, and it wasn't Glad Borenstein, but they became, So
well, bottom line, the bagels, let's say the bottom line.
Yeah, why they get one supplier, just like what
are they kosher, the bagels?
Yeah, they
this used to be their big thing right when I was a child.
They're buying.
So bottom line, is it
kosher? Yes, they're buying from one supplier, yes.
The bagels are kosher.
What
can they get from the bagel hole? Why can El Al get from the bagel hole? What's the problem?
Well,
what?
Everything is like from Mizonos, maybe, and a lot of these things, because they want to make it, the people complain they want a Mizonos, they don't want to make it get up and wash the kashrus organizations. But I've gotten calls from rabbis screaming, Rabbi Raps called me one time. I didn't tell him who I was, but I recognized his voice. Screaming that how could they be marked mizonos?
And Belsky was fire against about mizonos.
Right.
And Belsky, there's no such thing as mizonos rolls.
Just on airplanes.
Even on airplanes. No such thing as mizonos rolls.
You don't kosher anymore. You order your
super
LR. It's of no value.
Wow, interesting. You told me this.
Yeah, you could say.
Okay. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. Chayotze b'chem ein b'chem im b'shum b'menoi b'shul Yaakov. Okay, nasa chazal shnei klalim. So, hey, let's listen. The chol davar shnechal k'mo shu chay k'mo peretz v'yotze b'chem. Fruit. Okay, fruit. An apple. You can eat an apple raw. So let's say you have a baked apple. A baked apple. That's this do din b'shul Yaakov on baked apples. Because you can eat the apple raw. You don't need the kokoy to cook it for you. Uchayotze b'chem ein b'chem b'shum b'shulayhem. V'chem kol davar she'ein le'oyle al shulchan m'lachem. Even if you have something which cannot be eaten raw, but now it needs cooking, but it's not a type of food which is choshev. It's not oyle al shulchan m'lachem, which we normally refer to as a state dinner. Because every head of state has his mishigasim. He'll eat peanuts or jelly beans, or who knows what, which is not considered in this world to be a davar choshev, but they don't serve jelly beans at a state dinner. They don't. That's the reality. So something which is not choshev to be served al shulchan melachim, and that's a very big leniency. That's a very big leniency in Bishalakim. Ein bohem yishum bishulehem. As we go through the examples, we'll see a lot of different things when we do the haman halacha. The kaim alami paskin kahani trei lishnei. In other words, we take the now he's saying a very big chiddush. According to one opinion, these are mutually exclusive. Okay, would you believe that? It's a very great leniency. It appears that from the Gemara, you either hold of one reason or the other, but not both. So if you have a food that cannot be eaten raw, that cannot be eaten raw.
And it's not
Olal Shulchan Malachim. So what? The fact is, if this food, the only way I can consume it is because a non-Jew has processed it, has cooked it, it's usher. Oh, but you would never ever find this food oila al shulchan melachim. So what? So what? Or vice versa. Let's say you have a food that is oila al shulchan melachim. Okay, coffee. Well, they're not going to serve coffee at a state dinner. Of course they're going to serve coffee at a state dinner.
Better.
The best coffee. They'll serve coffee. It's oil al shulchan melachim. Do I need the guy to make the... Do I need the water to be cooked in order to consume the water? No. I can have water the way the water is plain. What they have done has not changed the water. I could have enjoyed the water before the guy cooked the water. So the coffee would be usser. Because coffee is oil al shulchan melachim. That's the Hashtus of the Gemara. The two reasons are independent of one another. Chazal came along and they made it very easy for us. They said, you know what, you can take the best of both worlds. Even if you have one without the other, that's enough to be lenient and to permit you to consume this product. So coffee, even though I don't, it's oil al shulchan melachim, but I don't need the guy to prepare the water. The water can be consumed when it's plain. Therefore, it's mutter, and vice versa. The other example as well. So this is the rule: ein ben mishum bishulehem bekaimon ki we pass in kahane trei lishne dekeshenechal kmo shuchai. If it can be eaten raw, af she'oil al shulchan melachim, oy, other way around, she'ena oil al shulchan melachim, it's not oil af she'ena nechal k'mo shuchai, ein bohem iser zed, there is no prohibition. L'chein iskimu kol rabbi seinu. What I'm telling you now is not a leniency. This is the way it is. Even though it would appear, read the Gemara, that each two are independent of one another, there's no room to be machmer. No one should come along to be a frumak. I'm going to be machmer. I'm not going to drink coffee from Starbucks. You know why? Because it's bishulakum. It might be a problem of kashrus, okay? But it's not a problem of bishulakum because it's oil al shulchan melachim. I'm being machmer like what it says in the Gemara. No, that's ridiculous. You don't. Everyone agrees that you can take a big both leniencies together. V'chein eskimu kol rabbeinu rishonim v'acharonim de'isur zeh ein ela b'davar she'ein einechal chai. The oile al shulchan lachmi. Both of the things together in pasuk b'tuv shochnach b'siminav. Believe again, you get an appreciation of where everything is coming. Let's do one more paragraph, so we can go to the next page tomorrow. The Gemara isa kol she'ino oile al shulchan lachmi l'lav v'es apas. Now, he is going to explain another difficulty. That is, has to accompany the bread. Ein boy mishum bish bishol. The chain cost of the Gemara's term is it's not oile al shulchan mulachim as something that accompanies bread. That would seem to indicate that if it is eaten alone, independently, without bread, then it's mutter. Then it's going to be mutter. Kol she'ein oile al shulchan mulachim. If it's not eaten al shulchan mulachim, lila face boyes apas, ein boy mishum bishul. And this nusach is also written by the Rambam. Mechain kosukim kosu Rambam perek zayin din tezvav ubir hatam shebnei sheikur hagzeruhu mishum chasnus shelo yazminu etzloi besudo. You should not be invited to their meal. B'davar she'ein oil al shulchan mulachim leechol boy esapas ein oda mazmin eschaber olav ad kan l'shaynoi. The Rambam says that you're not going to invite your friend for jelly beans. It's not going to happen. You're not going to invite your, come over, let's come over, I want to serve you a meal of jelly beans. That's not normal. What's normal is to invite him over for turkey, Thanksgiving dinner. That's chasnas.
What about chicken? You wouldn't just serve chicken by a king's meal?
You would. It's yeah, not sure. You would serve chicken.
How about a peanut butter sandwich?
No, that peanut, so bread, yes. Bread you do serve. Bread you serve. Peanut butter, why not? Why not? Don't serve peanut butter if there are things that are
maybe
flavored.
Maybe Jimmy Carter, you would get peanut
peanuts,
butter.
Peanuts, raw peanuts. Okay, the point over here is, let's just see, the person is, it has to be something, the reason that he's saying that the lumnus is chasnas. When would you invite your friend over to, when would a guy invite you over to his home to dine, which would lead to intermarriage? Only a dover choshev. He would not invite you over for even coffee, it seems. That's not, not for jelly beans, something like that. So here is the problem. He's now coming to just a very, very big problem, because the nusach, the sources tell us eating it alone is nothing. It can be very, it's a leniency. Something was a food that's very, very choshev, and it can only be eaten when, only can be eaten through cooking. It's mutter. The only time it's going to be forbidden is if this thing is eaten together with bread. Lilafe spaya sapas. So that would knock out almost 90%.
What? But you could eat it if there's no bread on the table?
Yeah. Let's say you have a
so you
dish.
All kinds of dips.
You have a certain type, exactly. So take the words of the Rambam and the words of the Gemara literally, basically today, 90% of what we consider to be problematic would be mutter. Because 90% of the foods that we have a problem with are foods that do not accompany bread. You eat maybe bread, and you're done with the bread. And now they serve you a dish. You eat this dish. This dish is not being eaten like in ancient times. In ancient times, you ate every single thing that you ate together with a little piece of bread.
So he's allowed to invite you to a buffet, but he can't invite you to a meal.
Exactly. And everything in the buffet can be cooked by the non-Jew, right? So that's not the way we pass in halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa doesn't make a difference. It's not kosher. But why? He's challenging. Why are we so machmir when the Gemara uses the word l'lafe sapas? And most of the foods, our style of eating today is not the style of eating in the time of Chazal. So v'mashma b'loshes elosh dovesh ein l'lafe sapas. I feel who dovesh shol chashivus kamo mine parperos. Hachash, different types of dishes, and the papyrus from different dishes, came and shame the lava sapas, less than ba, af im ein in the cholim, kamo shame chayim. The chain cost, and in fact goes on to say, echel migdoli hachonim shizo dasa ramba, mechain nikol ladino. Indeed, there are poisk that won't be lenient. See, maybe, you have, these are another sniff, a poisk has to know all these different things, because sometimes when push comes to shove, you have to find the heter. And over here is a very fast, we talked about it, we discussed yesterday, that people have live in help, elderly people have live in help, and they do all the cooking. And there's no solution. And like, well, I once told you from the rabbi, he says, just do the best you can. What am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you, you should starve the patient? Mm-hmm. So you have
you
no choice.
What? You don't give him bread.
So, don't give bread. Anyway, don't eat it with the bread. There's nothing, don't give him. You don't tell a person who's an elderly person what to eat, not to eat. You don't get involved. on your own, the fact is, you know that they're not eating it together with bread. The doctor probably tells them they can't eat bread at that stage, right? So here's, look at that, another element of leniency. And in fact, he says, he doesn't tell us who this is. This is a Pesek, one of the Gedolei Achronim, I don't know who he says, it's Hakatz Mutter. However, let's not get carried away here. Avol, Hatur, V'Ashulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph Kasu Davash Ein Nechal Kamoshu Chai V'Gam Oile Al Shulchan Malachim L'Lafes Boy. Now we go to page 105, Esapas, Oy L'Parperes. Whew! Who stuck those words in there? That is not fair. That's not fair. It says in the Gemara, L'Lafes Boy Esapas. And look what the Beis Yosef did. He snuck into Shulchan Aruch, even if it's not L'lafes b'yasapas, or l'parperes. It's just something which is a delicacy. Parperes means, I don't have a good word, delicacy? What's the word for parperes?
Side dish.
A l'parperes. Asa m'shemishulei ovek v'chavim adkan l'shoinei. Wait a minute.
Appetizer,
fine. It just basically means it's not eaten with bread. Zelofer. He snuck, he pulled one over us. The Shulchan Aruch pulled one over our heads. He put it in the Shulchan Aruch, a chumrah that it does not say in the Rambam, does not say in the Gemara. Not fair. So Aruch HaShulchan says, V'nira Shedatam Kain, the Beis Yosef holds, who? The Zeh Shom HaChazal Lav Yisrael Sapas Lav Dafka. Wow. Okay? So the Beis Yosef changed the whole kashrus industry. This statement has cost the kash industry billions of dollars since it started.
No, what he's explaining is that
L'lafes b'yas apas should not be taken literally.
If it's not L'lafes is a pas, it's not Oyla Shulchan Malachim. Anything that's L'lafes is a pas.
No, he doesn't say that. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that. Read the words. Second line, V'nira Shadaitim Kain Hu, Dezeh Shomer Chazal L'lafes b'yas apas Lav Dafka Hu. Simple. When it says the food, the urcho de milsa kamar, that was the terminology used in the time of Chazal. Right. In Chazal, they had a different way of eating. The way of eating. The davar she'ein chashuv ein malin al shulchan mulachim l'lafes b'yas apas. It's an expression. It's not something that you serve at a meal. The way the standard of living in the time of Chazal was, it was bread. Bread was a very significant part, and the term they used, the things, courses that are served in the meal, are called things that come l'lafes b'yasapas. But don't take the words literally, that you have to actually put it into your mouth with a little piece of bread at the same time. Don't take those words literally. Because if you take those words literally, then basically we have an incredible leniency of what today would be forbidden because of Bishalakum. Aval ho ikr toloi bedover shel chashiva so oila shulchan malachim afal pi shenechal bifnei atzmai v'im v'loi im hapas. Amazing. This is his interpretation. You could come along and you can say no. It means it has to be put in your mouth together with bread. This is his understanding. And guess what? He won the day. That's how we ascribe to this. But it's kedai to know. Because when you have a no-win situation, like I told you, the elderly people living with live and help and they're cooking, look, you have over here. He does quote, V'chein kos v'echa migdoli ho achroinim shel zeu da sarambam v'chein nikol ledina. So you see a sniff. You see a situation where when you have a no-win situation, you can't go tell the person that they're eating treif. And again, because treif is not the right word of here, but it means not kosher. Further, let's finish up with the V'chein Rambam atzmai. So he wants to prove that the Rambam himself said this. His skir sham b'din yud ches loshen parperes lin poilin v'adoshim. Ayin Sham, look there, he says, if you really read it, I didn't look it up, but look at Rambam, he says, if you want to read the Rambam very carefully, you'll see that the Rambam also holds this to be correct, because he says there are beans and lentils, and he does not use it there in reference to eating with bread itself. Ach yesh lo, amar de kavanos, de paperish oichle ma'apas, even though he admits, the Aruch HaShulchan admits that my Rai is not absolute, because maybe there what he means by beans and lentils, that's maybe he means also eaten with bread together. Shekin kosa l'chadim perik dal b'brochis din vav, because other times he does say that he eat beans and lentils with bread. V'zel l'shanei, birech al ha'pas, you make a broch on bread, potter es ha'paperesh, oichlen v'chem ha'pas, adkan l'shanei, you exempt the paperes, which you eat with the bread. Miu, so it's not absolute what I'm saying, the proof that the Aruch HaShulchan says is not absolute, but still, I don't have a proof to what I'm saying, but I still hold my ground. I still maintain that what I'm saying is MS, and the Mela is going to result in the very big Chumra, and it's going to cost the cautious industry from here on in until Mashiach millions, if not billions of dollars in expenses of what is required of Halacha to make sure something is kosher in the laws of Bishul Akum. Umiul Ladina, Kevin Shatur Shuchnach Paskul Isser, Hachi Kaimulan Vizehu. Hey, we'll beautifully say this in Bishul Akum. We'll leave it with here. We'll stop.